evening. Ash Wednesday begins the Christian season of Lent. Many of us will spend the coming days journeying with Jesus toward the cross, toward the death that ultimately brings resurrection life. Many of us will spend these coming days practicing a new spiritual discipline or giving up something that seems to be getting in the way of the life we long to live. Tonight, we in the New Covenant community come together as a family to mark Ash Wednesday and begin our Lenten journey using practices and scripture and liturgy that have come down to us through the ages. We come together to acknowledge our sin, to acknowledge our mortality. We come to glimpse the Christ who offers forgiveness, who offers everlasting life. Our purpose is not to engage in judgment of self or of others. Instead, we believe that Ash Wednesday offers us the chance to admit our frailty and own the ways that we fail ourselves, each other, and God, because this is an important first step in accepting grace and healing, that is acknowledging and being deeply sorry for our own wrongdoing. In the service tonight, there will be periods of silence, silence that allows each of us to commune with God with a humble spirit. Also, as part of tonight's worship, the imposition of ashes will be offered. This practice may not be familiar to everyone. Ashes have been used in Christian churches to mark the beginning of Lent since at least the 10th century, and ashes are mentioned in Scripture as a symbol of mourning, repentance, and purification. The ashes that we will offer tonight are the remainders of our Palm Sunday celebration last year, mixed with a little oil. We offer the imposition of ashes tonight as a physical reminder of our mortality and sin, an assurance of God's forgiveness and salvation. After the first scripture reading, Renee and Nancy will mark each other, and then those who wish to receive ashes will be invited to come forward. For those who come, they will place the cross-shaped mark of ashes on your forehead. If you would prefer to have them mark the back of your hand, simply hold out your hand. There are small slips of paper in a cup, a chalice, at the top of the stairs as you entered the sanctuary. Use these to write anything that you feel has been holding you back from being the person that God wants you to be. These may be big or small sins or challenges or failures, ways that you feel you have not lived up to God's great purpose for you. Perhaps some way that you've hurt someone that you love. Perhaps something you've neglected to do that God has put upon your heart. Later, as we leave the service, we will burn these slips of paper on the sidewalk in the Holy Grill, just outside the main door, signifying that at this start of Lent, we recognize our frailty and failings, and petition God to help us release those things that hold us back. At the end of the formal service, we encourage you to leave the sanctuary in silence to help maintain the solemn focus of this first day of Lent. And now let us begin our time of worship by focusing our minds and hearts on God's presence with us. I invite you to relax in a comfortable position and close your eyes and take a few deep breaths. And we will begin with a minute of silent prayer.
This is a reading from the Vesper service of the Lutheran Book of Worship. Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening and the day is almost over. Let your light scatter the darkness and illumine your church. Joyous light of glory of the eternal Father, heavenly, holy, blessed Jesus Christ. We have come to the setting of the sun, and we look to the evening light. We sing to God, to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are worthy of being praised with true voices forever. O Son of God, O Giver of life, the universe proclaims your glory. O Lord, I call to you. Come to me quickly. Hear my voice when I cry to you. Let my prayer rise before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Amen.
God of all peoples and creatures, you knew the chaos that swirled before creation and the clash of tongues in Babylon. You raised up humanity from dust by your breath, and by your spirit we may still be renewed. But on this day of dust and ashes, let us not turn too quickly to the hope of new life. Let us first reacquaint ourselves with our smoldering, crumbling, earthbound nature, our ability to burn down all we have built up, our tendency to devastate, to ravage, to destroy every place where God dwells, where Christ abides and reaches out. Let us come face to face with all we have failed to honor, every difference we refuse to celebrate, every fear-based judgment that drives us away from love, every certainty that lifts us above our brother, our sister, our neighbor, our enemy, our very own belovedness of God. We confess we are no more than dust and ashes, and we desire to turn from our destruction. God of hope and healing, save us from ourselves. Breathe into us again and restore us as your children. Draw order out of chaos once more. Let our tongues fall silent until guided by your spirit. Let our steps fall in line with Christ's journey through the wilderness. Let our hands reach out in care and recreation where your work is still to be done. And in life, in death, and in life beyond death, may we be marked and claimed by your cross-shaped love. Amen.
Reading from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 through chapter 6, verse 2. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become righteousness of God. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For God says, "In the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." And from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
I'd like to read that last verse again. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. There are times when we do not feel confident to approach God's throne of grace. That leads to the next reading, a poem called Blessing the Dust. All those days, you felt like dust, like dirt, as if all you had to do was turn your face to the wind and be scattered to the four corners, or swept away by the smallest breath, insubstantial. Did you not know what the Holy One can do with dust? This is the day we say, freely, we are scorched. This is the hour we are marked by what has made it through the burning. This is the moment we ask for the blessing that lives within the ancient ashes, that makes its home inside the soil of this sacred earth. So let us be marked, not for sorrow, and let us be marked, not for shame. Let us be marked, not for false humility or for thinking we are less than we are, but for claiming what God can do within the dust, within the dirt, within the stuff of which the world is made, and the stars that blaze in our bones, and the galaxies that spiral inside the smudge we bear. And now Nancy will pray before the imposition of ashes.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our repentance and mortality, that we may remember that it is only by your grace that we are given everlasting life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We invite you now, those who would like to receive ashes, to form two lines up to the front of the church.
A reading from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness. In your great compassion, blot out my offenses. Wash me through and through from my wickedness, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. And so you are justified when you speak, and upright in your judgment. Indeed, I have been wicked from my birth, a sinner from my mother's womb. For behold, you look for truth deep within me, and will make me understand wisdom secretly. Purge me from my sin, and I shall be pure. Wash me, and I shall be clean indeed. Make me hear of joy and gladness, that the body you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Give me the joy of your saving help again, and sustain in me your bountiful spirit. I shall teach your ways to the wicked, and sinners shall return to you. Deliver me from death, O God, and my tongue shall sing of your righteousness, O God of my salvation. Open my lips, O Lord, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Had you desired it, I would have offered sacrifice. But you take no delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God is a troubled spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And now we will bring our sins to the light of our consciousness. This is a communal prayer of confession that we will do next that has been uttered by other believers for hundreds of years. Each confession may not fit exactly your experience, and you may have some others that are not mentioned. You might use the brief silence after each to adapt to fit your own life. Let us pray. I'm sorry, I'm not very used to this. Now we will bring our sins to the light of our consciousness. So pray with me. Most holy and merciful Father, we confess to you and to one another and to the whole communion of saints in heaven and on earth that we have sinned by our own fault in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. You must now pretend that I am Virginia. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not forgiven others as we have been forgiven. We have hardened our hearts to those around us and the pain that we have caused them. This is true in our lives in the world around us, and it is also true often of our lives here in our New Covenant community and among those who have worshiped with us in the past but are no longer with us. Have mercy on us, Lord.
We have been deaf to your call to serve as Christ served us. We have not been true to the mind of Christ. We have grieved your Holy Spirit. Have mercy on us, Lord. We confess to you, Lord, all our past unfaithfulness, the pride, hypocrisy, and impatience of our lives. We confess to you, O Lord. Our self-indulgent appetites and ways, and our exploitation of other people. We confess to you, Lord.
We confess to you, Lord, that we have contributed to conflict and dysfunction in our families by sins of commission and omission. We confess to you, Lord. anger at our own frustration and our envy of those more fortunate than ourselves. Confess to you, Lord. Our intemperate love of worldly goods and comforts, and our dishonesty in daily life and work. We confess to you, Lord. Our negligence in prayer and worship, and our failure to commend the faith that is in us. We confess to you, Lord.
Accept our repentance, Lord, for the wrongs we have done, for our blindness to human need and suffering, and our indifference to injustice and cruelty. For all false judgments, for uncharitable thoughts toward our neighbors, for our prejudice and contempt toward those who differ from us, and for our lack of compassion for strangers, refugees, and the vulnerable. For our waste and pollution of your creation, our sins against the physical earth, and our lack of concern for those who come after us.
Accept our repentance, Lord.
Restore us, good Lord, and let your anger depart from us. Let us forgive each other for our brokenness.
Accomplish in us the work of your salvation. I'll do it again. Accomplish in us the work of your salvation.
That we may show forth the glory in the world.
By the cross and passion of your Son, our Lord, bring us with all your saints to the joy of his resurrection. Almighty God, who sent our Lord Jesus Christ, does not desire to punish us for our sins. Instead, God extends grace freely, allowing us to live life fully. Therefore, we ask that God grant us a repentance and the Holy Spirit that we may live in a way that reflects God's highest plan for us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. From Joel 2, verses 12 and 13. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity.
I'd like to present to you now a reading from the writings of Julian of Norwich. In my folly, I often wondered why, by the great foreseeing wisdom of God, the beginning of sin was not prevented. For then it seemed to me that all would have been well. But Jesus answered by this word and said, "Sin is inevitable, but all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well." And because of the tender love that our Lord has to all, he comforts quickly and sweetly, meaning thus, it is true that sin is the cause of all this pain, but all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. These words were said most tenderly, showing no manner of blame to me nor to anyone. Thus I saw how Christ has compassion for us because of sin. He looks upon us with mercy and pity as children, innocent and not loathsome. God reminded me that I would sin, but our Lord does not wish his servants to despair because of our frequent or grievous falling, because our falling does not prevent him from loving us. And just so wills our Lord that we accuse ourselves willingly and truly, seeing and recognizing our failing and all the harms that come therefrom. And along with that, we also willingly and truly recognize and acknowledge his everlasting love that he has for us and his plenteous mercy. Thus graciously to recognize and to acknowledge both together is the gentle self-accusing that our Lord asks of us. And therefore, it is God's will that we recognize sin and pray diligently and labor willingly and seek teaching humbly so that we do not fall blindly into sin, and if we fall, that we rise quickly. For it is the worst pain that the soul can have to turn from God any time there is sin. This then is the remedy, that we be aware of our sinfulness and flee to the Lord. For ever the more quickly we do so, the more advantageous it is to be near him. Jesus says, "I am able to make everything well, and I know how to make everything well, and I wish to make everything well, and I shall make everything well, and thou shalt see for thyself that all manner of things shall be well." We're going to conclude our evening with the reading together of the Trisaion, which is an ancient prayer of the Orthodox Church. Would you pray with me? Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immersed, have mercy on us. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. Holy God, holy and immortal, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and ever, and to the ages of ages. Amen. Holy and immortal, have mercy on us. Go in peace. As you quietly leave the church, place your slips of paper in the burner, if you have chosen to write something on them, outside the main door of the sanctuary. If you like, you can wait on the sidewalk and we will burn them once all have been placed inside. And may God's blessings be upon all of you.